out Wednesday, 10/16/24. Title is called Father's Care. Let me ask you a question. If the God of the universe cares for us, the one that's made everything, knows everything, then why are we wrapped up in so much self-care? Concerning ourselves. Why are we always so wrapped up in taking care for ourselves? This is just for you to think about. If God, He made everything, He cares about you watchfully, why do we spend so many hours, wasted hours, worrying about ourselves, worrying about our condition, worrying about, I wonder when God's going to do something? Well, even Christians with their mind renewed have trouble with this, and so that's what we're going to look at today. Taking care is the enemy's snare. We already know that. We've talked about the Care Bear snare. I don't need to get the Care Bears out today to demonstrate. First scripture is Psalms 91. Yeah, it'll be there. I'm reminded, since I've watched Facing the Giants movie probably 70 times in the last how many months? And the coach comes in there and he says, you know, it says in God's word that there's 365 times He said, do not fear. He said, well, if He said it that many times, he must really mean it. Yeah, He must really mean it. One for every day of the year. Psalms 91. I'm in 119, just a second. The Care Bear Snare. Satan's narrative. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He's got it covered 24/7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Then why do we read this, and then we go about our business, and we begin to take care? We spend most of our day taking care, taking thoughts about care. And we wonder why we get the flack we do, the snare of care. All right, the psalm is all about not taking care and relying on Father's care, isn't it? I mean, He pretty well made it any time of day, night or day, whatever's coming, He's going to cover it for you. He's going to take care of it. It's a place of rest. It's not a place of fretting or stewing or worrying about anything. Just like it says in Matthew 6, don't take a thought saying. All right, let's go look at Hebrews chapter 4. If God has taken our care, then why does it seem that we are so easily snared by it? I would say it's more, not so much that maybe it's a person's mind is not renewed, but we've learned all our lives to walk by our feelings, what we feel. All right, Hebrews 4, let's start with verse 1 there. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the walk of faith is a walk of rest, right? For we which have believed do enter into rest. Who? We who have believed. Believe what? Must be believing God and his word. As I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, all the works, wait a minute, let me read that again. For we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So if you're in care, that's unbelief, right? If you're in care about your situation, any part of it, any of it, then you're in unbelief. Again, he limited the certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This toiling and spinning and just wearing yourselves out, that's not God's way. For he that has entered into his rest also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So God has already done it, and all the works that he did that concern us have already been done. So it says he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees it all. He don't miss a beat. A lot of times we're blind to some of the things that we do, but God's not. He discerns the heart. He can correct you and say, well, you've been a toiling and a spinning, doing your own works, trying to get yourself healed, trying to get this circumstance to change. Wearing yourself out trying to do it. Sound familiar? Okay. Verse 10 right here. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. We're not about works. What we do is by faith, right? The walk of the Spirit. Entering God's rest causes us to cease from our own works. Our own works are a result of taking care about our current situation. Any care, any of it. All right. This is me speaking. I'll tell off on myself. I personally believe that I've had more problems in the past year with just doing churchy stuff to achieve the objective. Is this not also the works of the flesh? We were talking about all the stuff we've had to unlearn that we learned in church. Most of what church people do, they do churchy stuff, churchy prayers. And it's not anything that causes you to learn how to trust God. Praying to exhaustion, confessing the word, general confessions, praise and worship and petitions. You can do them and do them and do them, and a lot of them are just fleshly works. Not all, but some. The Lord's instructed us, don't pray those petitions over and over and over and over and over and over. You just praise me that it's done. That's what he said. All those things seem good, but if you're not resting in God, then you've given in to the pressure of care. You know? I'm just giving you what the Lord's given me. Now you can see why the enemy can get in so easily. Because of our thought life and taking care about situations and circumstances that we have to walk through that are difficult. I mean, they are difficult. But it's like the scripture says, can you turn one hair black or white? Yeah, you know, the beauty operator could, but I'm talking about naturally from the root. Could you turn your hair black or white? No, you cannot. Right here, personally, most of my worst attacks has been when I was trying to work it myself. More confessions, more prayer, more praise, no rest involved, just working it all the time, 24/7, never enjoying anything. There you go, right there. The more I do it, maybe I'll finally get something of this stuff off of me. The labor that we are to labor in is to enter into his rest. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world for a human being to just lay it down and just absolutely just don't do anything. Always trying to fix it. When God says, I done fixed it, just believe that I have. No, we got to add to. All right. The flesh is the flesh, and churchy word of faith ways are just as obnoxious to God as any other fleshly pursuit. Like Charles Capps, it's like praying the rosary or Polly on a cracker. Is it or is it not? Not you. It was Danny that said that, not Charles Capps. But he got that from listening to Charles Capps. All right. I get it wrong. Just take it for what it is. All right. Methods get us into fleshly modes and we don't even realize it. You know, with rest comes peace. Not concern, not turmoil, and just dragging around, just being gloomy and just sad all the time. That's not the rest of God. Oh. All right. Fear and care cause us to do things our own way, even prayer, praise, and confession. This is why it is so important to get God's plan for your situation so that you are flowing with the Holy Spirit to bring the desired result and not your own flesh trying to achieve it by adding, oh, I better pray a couple, 4 or 5 hours today. Oh, I'm going to amp up my prayer and confession. Well, if God has said do that, yes, that's good. If he has not, you're just working it in the flesh. It may sound really, oh, they pray 5 hours to God. But they couldn't, if God walked up to them, they couldn't even tell who he was if he had a red hat on, like Brother Hagin talks about. Praying in tongues is not an end-all to everything. We still got to hear God's voice, and we still have to obey him. It's a good start. I think it'll keep you more on track than anything else, because the Holy Spirit's going to pray the perfect will of God. But if you're doing it to exhaustion and you're trying to get something, that's a different story. That is those works that I'm talking about. All right. Well, we talked the other day about, it was about compromise, how someone that preached the word of faith and they just really were very, very highly developed in it until someone in their family got sick. And how, you know, you got to be led by the Spirit in the books you read and things like that, because you can compromise yourself and get into error. You know what I'm saying? All right. Here's what it says that Strong's, what rest is, a reposing down, an abode, in other words, to chill. Chill. Let's look at 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read that out of the Amplified right quick. 1 Peter 5. All right, we're going to start with 6 there. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. Isn't that what it is? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you when you submit yourselves to God. It's saying humble yourselves here. Demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. When we take it into our own hands to do it, and we keep adding and adding and adding and adding until the time we get up till we go to bed, we're either confessing or praying or, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm not going to be concerned about a thing today. I just cast my care on you. And everywhere you go, you just think, well, Lord, I just thank you for that. And I just thank you for that. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, that's all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately, cares about you watchfully. If he watches the sparrow and he sees it when it falls, what are you fretting about? How much better are you than the birds? Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christ throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his... Just a minute. Own eternal glory in Christ Jesus will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. By submitting to God, by refusing to take the care, flip it over and say, no, I'm not going to care today. I'm going to thank you, Lord, that it's done. I'm going to thank you, Lord, I don't need to worry about anything. Telling you, this is what eats most people up right there. It's suffering in your flesh whenever you decide, I'm going God's way. I'm not going the way that the inclination of the flesh. And the inclination of the flesh is for fleshly works. That's it. That's all it can do. Taking it to its own hands to try to get it done. When the Lord's given you probably 50 prophecies and there's no telling how many scriptures and all those things, and you're still struggling. We can be doing seemingly all the Christian things and be totally in the flesh. And when we do that, the enemy can come and attack us, all because of self-care. I have noticed over the last year or so, when I come under a really heavy attack, most times it's because I've gotten off on a fleshly thing, thinking I need to change something because nothing's happening. So I'm thinking, well, I better amp this up, and I better do this, and I better do that. Does the Lord say to do that? No. No, he hasn't. He is subtle for sure, the devil is. And we must always be on guard to stay out of care and casting the care on Father, because Father knows best. Remember the show, Father Knows Best? All right, we're going to read a few scriptures. Psalms 37. This is a revelation of the Lord to me. It is, and I hope you grasp a hold of it today, and whoever else listens to this tape, because it will save you a lot of pain and a lot of agony. And I've gotten to the place, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, you said he who has that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now you can understand why the suffering. Because he's got to be able to trust us that we're not going to go off on some fleshly tangent and start just changing a little something, because a lot of times it's subtle. 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, it's evil. Getting in the flesh is evil. You can't even get any more evil than walking in the flesh. It's happening all around us. Psalms 95. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, and in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. He couldn't give them the goodness because they would not listen to him. They wanted to go their own way. All right, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3 here. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, are you in Hebrews? Okay. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The way of God is the way of rest. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, the walk of faith is a walk of rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, when we start going our own way and we start adding to, this is what he's talking about here. They're departing from the living God. And then you open yourself up to even further attack. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Thinking it something you could do, just like the lilies, they neither toil nor spin, but God's clothed them. For some, when they had learned, did provoke, however, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? To whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So unbelief and belief and rest go together. Unbelief goes with unrest. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I believe most of our weariness comes from this, just what I'm talking about today. Just trying to do anything and everything you know to do that's churchy, and we've learned to get something off of you. That's not rest. That's work. Works of the flesh. Jesus said this. This is Matthew. And I didn't write the scripture down. I wrote the verses down. Anyway, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. 11. Let's go there and read that. You write it down because I forgot to write 11. Everybody just needs to just take a sigh of relief. We're not working to try to get God to approve of us. God did all the work. Jesus did all the work. Well, I don't want to miss God. You're not going to miss God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To the people of God that were sincere, Jesus was so kind to them. The only ones that he got on to were the Pharisees, that they did their works and thought they were so holy and good, and they were nothing but dead men's bones. Okay. Trust the Father. He really does have everything under control, and everything he does is for our good. So why wouldn't we trust him? If he can't do anything but good concerning us, he only has good intentions, Jeremiah said. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, for good and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. Then why are we fretting? We fret because we don't believe him, evidently. All right, we can trust him and we can let him take all the care so we can rest. If his eyes are on the sparrow, then how much more is his eye on you? A couple more scriptures. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Weary means here to be bad or weak, by implication to fail in heart.